a few months back.
The board vote was included, and that they sent it back for that reason. And I just showed her and Howard that it went along with it.
So then,
but, you know, they don't read.
Okay, so we just had this on the agenda to.
So we can redo it again if you want, because you have new members. But the point is, I gave it to her.
Let's move
with
on.
The previous board vote.
Very good. Eight H. Councilmember Kerkorian is inviting all the neighborhood councils in his district to a special movie night at North Hollywood Park. I saw a email today from Nikki about it. They have their flyer done. The date is to be determined. I think they did actually set the date. Kerkorian's office is asking for each neighborhood council to contribute $200 towards food for this event. The VNNC to assist in funding, not to exceed $200. Do we have any discussion or debate on this?
I just want to say that this is an amendment that I support only because I think it's good that even though we're focused on Van Nuys, it's nice to actually pair with other neighborhood councils, and I think this could begin a relationship with other neighborhood councils to do something for us one day. So I think this is a good motion to vote yes on.
Candy, did you have something?
Just quickly, that I hope that the council gets recognition at that event, that it's just not a Van Nuys, but the actual, there's some comment about Van Nuys.
Without objection, I make a motion. Yes.
Right.
With our VNNC logo on the flyer in order to justify this, and then B, the paperwork has never been submitted by Nikki.
All right, so with that, I am happy to table this as they just sent the flyer out not 3 or 4 hours ago. So the proper procedure which we follow is to get paperwork from them and to receive a flyer with the date. Without objection, I would like to table 8H and come back to it next month.
Without objection.
Without objection. So ordered. Moving on. Update and information from Kelly Tyler on the Van Nuys Library happenings. Kelly has also been so nice as to be happy to host us for our retreat, which, as far as I know, is in our district, the Van Nuys Library.
Oh, boy, it sure is.
And so we'll have no objections.
Thank you, Kelly.
Done there. And we can move forward on that. Kelly, you are recognized.
So I'm not actually here to talk about programs at the library this time, which is why I requested a little extra time. So I'm here to talk about something that Penny actually came with me to Denver, and we did an intensive 3-day training. So I'm here to present some of what we did there. So this training was supported by the American Library Association and the Harwood Institute. The American Library Association is the librarian's professional organization. It's a nationwide organization. They're working with the Harwood Institute to train public innovators who want to work in communities to move them forward. These kind of public innovators come from nonprofits, businesses, government, the media, and educational and religious organizations. So ALA, the American Library Association, is working for the first time with the Harwood Institute in a pilot project. They invited 10 public libraries from across the nation to come and participate in this training. And the Los Angeles Public Library was honored to be one of the invited institutions. And the place where we are doing this project, this 18-month-long pilot project, is here in Van Nuys at our library right over here.
Yay.
Yay. So as part of this project, we are involving three librarians that work with the library. Myself here at the Van Nuys location, we have two librarians from Central, and then we invited Penny Myers, our neighborhood member, to come with us. We had 3 days of intensive training with other public libraries and community members in Denver. So public innovators have three different characteristics: a deep affection for their communities and for tackling complex public challenges. So some of the challenges that you deal with all the time here. We're highly pragmatic, results-oriented, and we're focused on getting things done. So we're going to be ruthlessly strategic in our execution of what we want to accomplish here in Van Nuys. We're also willing to take risks and make big bets, and we're hoping that these risks are going to be worth taking and we're going to manage our risks wisely. So for this opportunity in Denver, it's the first time that I said that they are partnering with public libraries. The Harwood Institute has previously partnered with groups like the United Way across the country. So we're hoping that we'll do this pilot project in Van Nuys and that will be replicated at other libraries across the city. So people might ask, why the library? Why is the library a great place to do this kind of project? Well, as you may know, the library is a trusted place in the community. People come into the library because they know we don't take political positions. We have a great space where people can gather to have conversations around controversial subjects. Libraries can also build great partnerships with organizations in the community. And we have done so, like you said, or someone said earlier, we've been in Van Nuys for 113 years. So since 1911, when the community is founded, there has been some form of library service here in our community. And we've been in the government center here for 50 years. So what are we going to do with this training? So I brought the binder here today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what we learned and how we intend to work with, hopefully, the Neighborhood Council and other community members as we move forward. So what we'd like to do is focus on turning outward. And what turning outward means is, instead of focusing on the different kind of rules and regulations we might have as a board or as a library or different organizations, we're going to try to turn outward and focus on what the community needs for us to do. We're going to be hosting conversations in the library and in other places in the community. We're going to speak with people about their aspirations for Van Nuys to try to understand what community members want to see. So while I'm so glad to see so many people here at a neighborhood council meeting, as many of you know, we tend to see the same faces over and over again, and we have over 100,000 people who live in Van Nuys who are not here today. So we want to reach out to the community and talk to different and diverse groups. So we're hoping that over several conversations, we'll learn about different themes about what people really want to see accomplished by government, by neighborhood councils, by different groups here in Van Nuys. And we're hoping that as a result, we'll be able to speak authoritatively about community aspirations and be more authentic and accountable to the public as we act. So what that means would be, as we make decisions, that they're based on what the community has actually said that they want, rather than what we guess they want. And what we are going to do with what we learn. I stand here to say I promise to share with you, the Neighborhood Council, what I learn in these conversations. So I'm going to be coming here to share with you the different themes. And Penny will be doing many of these conversations, so I'm sure she'll be sharing this information with you as well. We're also going to, after we learn all the different things that people are saying, we're going to be creating a community engagement plan. And this will be tailored to what we call the sweet spot. So this means where concerns and issues that are brought forward to us, as well as what we know our community is capable of accomplishing. So I'm not talking about doing gigantic, huge programs necessarily, but maybe small projects that can move us forward, things like community cleanups and other things, so people can start to generate some excitement about change and moving forward in Van Nuys. So we're talking about setting the right size goals. We all know we have limited resources, including at the library. I've been extremely short-staffed, for example. I have two vacancies in the clerical side. I'm about to get I have another half-time vacancy for shelvers. So everybody has limited resources and time. So it's also about being ruthlessly strategic about how we spend the time and the resources to accomplish these goals. And so how does this involve you? Like George mentioned, I'd like to invite all of you to come to the library for a retreat. I would love to talk with you about this more and how you can get involved. For example, one of the exercises that we would like to do would be to help you figure out what your North Star is. So a lot of people think about a goal. What is something that you look forward to as a board? When you approve money, are you all thinking about the same goal that you might all have in common? So as community stakeholders are invested in Van Nuys, I need all of you. In fact, I'm hoping that you'll decide to come to the library for the retreat so we can discuss all of that. So this would hopefully help you be more strategic in the way you may spend your funding. It may help you figure out how to make the biggest impact. I know you guys were just talking about the banners. So if you had something you could look to, is this really accomplishing the main goal that we can all agree to? Because it's hard with 19, we have 19 people, to all agree on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So can we find common ground if you're giving a funding request? So that's the kind of thing that we discussed. I don't know if Penny has anything else to add. It's kind of hard to summarize in a short amount of time, 3 days of really intense workshop. And this is something that we'll be continuing to develop over the next 18 months. So what we're hoping is to really bring great positive change to Van Nuys that's community driven.
Kelly, how many libraries in California were picked? It's you and just one other, right?
So there were 10 libraries across the country. Two were from California. So it was Los Angeles Public Library and the San Jose Public Library. We are by far the largest city. So I think they're very interested to see how this would play out across a large city, but we're starting in Van Nuys.
Beautiful. Candy, in one sec. I do think, Council, that this is a great opportunity. If we combo this with our retreat, it is a wonderful opportunity for us to be engaged with the community. There's only 10 libraries in all of America that were picked to do this, and we have one of the 10 in all of the United States. And Kelly has been very gracious in working with us, and if we work with her and do the retreat simultaneously, I think we'll have a great opportunity to actually represent the community we were elected to represent, Paul, and then Candy.
This is one of those things where we're going to be having this is a topic for our committee next week, and maybe this is one of those things that since we are going to have the retreat on there, that if you could come to that or we can discuss it.
I'd be happy to. And I should also mention, if you ever want to have any committee meetings, I'd be happy to host you at the library.
Paul, have your meeting there.
Okay, then we'll have our meeting there.
I'd be happy to do that for you. And the benefit is we do close at 8. We will kick you out at 8.
Oh, bummer.
So, Paul, start your committee meeting at 7:45, and that'll be fantastic. Candy, then Penelope. Yes.
Yes, I did. Thank you, Penny.
Yes, we love you, Kelly, because grants are hard to get. You must have written a fantastic one in order to be chosen, so we applaud you for that more than we can say.
Thank you. I didn't mention it was a competitive application process, so I, along with the other two librarians at Central, did work on our application.
That's fabulous.
Candito.
These are the kinds of things I'm talking about, the partnership. This is an outstanding job.
Kind of thing I mentioned, but everybody ignored it.
The outreach, those do better than any banners, but because you're...
No, it doesn't do better than any banners.
Well, I'll be coming back to share all the information about what I learned and working to create an engagement plan. Who knows where that will take us, because it will be based on what we hear in these different conversations.
Very good, Kelly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We look forward to working with you. All right, next up we have... the three strikes and you're out update on the procedure for being banned from VNNC meetings. We are going to hear from Daniel Luna, who hit the ground running as a council member and did research for us on this. And then Mr. Hopp has a speaker card on this as well. So, Mr. Luna, you are recognized. And so does Miriam. Yes, Miriam and Richard. But first, and Donna. All right. But first, we're going to hear from Daniel Luna. Councilmember Luna, you're recognized.
Thank you. So in order to be succinct and clear in my communication, I just wrote down all of the research that I had. So I'm just going to read. It won't be particularly enthusiastic, but it'll be accurate. So the way to address inappropriate or unwanted behavior is with a code of conduct. You could call it a code of civility. For this, I'll just simply call it the code. So the code can be found in two places: the neighborhood bylaws or the standing rules. The ability to enforce the code is identical. However, if the code is put into the standing rules, there's no amendment process that needs to take place, and the code can be implemented immediately. So standing rules would apply to both board members and the public in attendance at meetings. It is the best practice to read the standing rules at the beginning of each and every meeting so as to set the expectation of behavior by all that are present. I have an example of that that I won't read, but I have available. It's basically the template that was changed in 2010 from Dunn. I have that as an example. So according to Dunn, the city attorney, the city clerk, and the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council bylaws, and I've asked all the gentlemen and lady that I spoke to, I can quote them by name if I so choose, there's a recommended linear process to address inappropriate behavior from both stakeholders and board members. I researched both. They both came out clearly in my research. So the process of addressing inappropriate behavior from a stakeholder is a six-step process.
Read me, because that's the original.
Step one would be a verbal warning by the presiding board member. In this case, this would be President Thompson. Step two would be a recess of 5 minutes to discuss with the stakeholder the impact of the behavior and how it's impeding the lawful business of the neighborhood council. Step three would be to ask to be present for the remainder of the meeting, the senior lead officer or another law enforcement officer as available. The fourth step would be to give a public warning in front of the senior lead officer, quote, if you continue to violate the code of conduct and prevent this board from conducting its business, you will be removed from this meeting, close quote. The fifth step would be to have the stakeholder removed by the law enforcement officer for the remainder of the meeting. This removal ends when the current meeting does and does not persist or apply to any future meetings. Under no circumstances can we physically touch stakeholders. The sixth step and the final option would be the president conferring with the LA City Attorney to have a judge issue a court order banning the specific stakeholder from further meetings. This has happened in the past, and this is an option. The process for discipline of a board member, according to all the same agencies, LA City Attorney, LA City Clerk, Dunn, and the current bylaws, is also a six-step process. The first would be a verbal warning by the presiding board member, in this case, the president. Step two, three, and four would be censures. So there should be a minimum of three censures before further action, including removal, is taken. Now, in the current bylaws, censure is not described. But what it basically means, it means a motion of censure is voted upon and passed, and then the president of the NC takes time to publicly express formal disapproval of the board member's actions. It's essentially a public reprimand. The fifth step would be, as mentioned by the lady from Dunn, after three censures and in preparation for a possible vote of removal by the board, it would be appropriate for the president of the NC to communicate with the LA City Attorney and present documentation and evidence in the event that the board votes to remove the board member. This is a preparatory step, basically due to the litigious nature of the matter. The sixth step, if the appropriate behavior has not been modified, you would proceed with steps to remove board member as described in the bylaws, Article 5, Section 9. A board member may resign at any time prior to the vote to have them removed, following Article 5, Section 10. So my personal opinions, as gathered by me, everything I just read is verbatim from the individuals that I spoke to. There's no interpretation or opinions in what I just read. My personal opinions through the course of the hours discussing with these individuals, I have four very brief opinions. Number one, because an elected public official, which everybody on this board is held to a higher standard, we're required to do two things. One, we're required to hear public comments. Two, we're required to be polite. Because of the higher standard of behavior we are held to, comments from us, elected public officials, are held to a higher level of scrutiny. Our words carry authority and responsibility and should be treated with the highest levels of respect and civility. Point number two, a stakeholder can request information. I won't go into the details, but it has to do with a public request of information. Basically, a request can be in the form of a question. Enforceability aside, the only thing that really kind of stuck out to me is if a request is made, it can't be for any new information. What that basically means is if the request is going to create new information or is going to require me to give an opinion that's not already previously recorded, I don't have to give it. Step three, and this is a little bit more on my opinion side, we're not legally, morally, or socially obligated to answer a verbal question during public comments. We're not having a social interaction. We are conducting serious business. And in the course of that business, we are required to respectfully hear comments. We're politely hearing someone out during public comments. The fourth step is that due process is a fundamental part of justice at whatever level of the justice system, whether it be a neighborhood council in its disciplinary actions or the Supreme Court. That's all the research that I have. If you have questions, it's up to the president to address it.
Candy, then Miriam.
Sure. The only opinion was when I started to state that it was my opinion. Melvin Cadenas and Dunn, A. Lewis Phillips' boss, I forget the name. I spoke to two people at the city clerk and the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council bylaws I just read. They're publicly available.
Did you ever speak to the city attorney's office?
Yes, A. Lewis Phillips is in the city. I spoke to her boss.
Is city attorney.
A. Lewis Phillips is our representative. I spoke to her boss. Yeah, I can get you the name. It's in my raw notes. I just don't have them with me.
All right, so Miriam, Donna, then Richard.
I'm going to try to use my 2 minutes that I'm allowed to have. Obviously, it looks like I'm being...
No, you're not. Don't get excited. Just go ahead.
Okay, because I'm not on the email list, by the way. That's one of the things that I'm not happy about.
Got dropped.
They dropped my name off the mailing list, and I want to be put back on the list. Secondly, I've been asking this board to run for seat at large. Okay, so I'd like to get that opportunity to be able to run for the seat at large.
There is no at-large seat available, Miriam.
Okay. Okay, the third thing is, I brought this thing here, and I'm against this rule applying to regular people. The only rule that you're talking about applicable is to people who are endangering yourself or others. They're dangerous to people here. That's what I'm, this is the only thing that I can refer to, because this here is talking about our right to be here. Even if I scream, yell, whatever, I'm not being violent. I'm not trying to, or anything. You just tell me to, I'm out of order or something, the person will stop. You can't just throw somebody summarily out of here, okay? You got to be very defined. You can't just... Or when they take the law in your own hands, obviously, and say, well off, because I don't have the money to fight, get an attorney. And obviously, the fact is that you're, you know, because this is a ruling right here, okay, that I can go by, and I can get an attorney on this, because I'm not going to threaten. I don't want to ever. I love everybody, okay? And I can't understand why people would be threatening other people. That's, to me, is inappropriate. And that should be dealt with to the maximum, okay? And that should apply under the three strikes, and that I would go along with that. Thank you.
Donna and then Richard.
As we were saying in the executive meeting when I was there, that you're going to have a hard time to just have anybody being kicked out for all time. And the city council, even during its rough time period, never did that. And I don't care where you come up with that. In real life, they usually have a time period where they have like a certain time period, like 30 days they weren't allowed to come. And when they figured out with 30 days, they would come back again and then show how they would behave. Of course, it's a little harder really to kick anybody out. And we have to decide which is a strike. And it really has to be something big, not just somebody getting up and... kind of interrupting a little bit too many times and saying comments over. And, you know, that's really, you know, say somebody's kind of disabled and they're kind of slow. And, you don't really want to kick off somebody, make a strike on something like that. Of course, I'm happy that you discussed with a person. So that part I do like, that you discuss it with the person so they know that they did that. But I think it should be something bigger with somebody who's really doing threatening language and really dirty language to somebody who they disagree with. And I that's something that totally should not be done, and that is a strike. You know, I mean, if that person will learn that that's definitely not allowed. But I'm sorry, I'll never go for altogether being kicked out unless that person is threatening, really threatening. But I really don't see a person being kicked out for all time. And I thought this was just for a certain period of time that this person could go. And we really need to decipher what is a strike and what is not a strike.
Thank you very much, Donna.
You know, it's up to public opinion.
Thank you, Donna. Mr. Hopp, you're recognized.
Mr. Luna, I'm impressed that you actually did more than most, and I thank you for that. Unfortunately, you've been misled. The problem is they didn't give you points of authority, appellate decisions, nothing of that nature. And that's very disappointing. And unfortunately, when something goes wrong, it's going to be your face, not the city attorney's face. All they do is advise. One thing I do find even more objectionable about the people you talk that talk to you is they never, in my understanding, reduced anything into writing and forwarded on to you. And the reason why they do that is called selective amnesia. And that's very unfortunate, and I don't like it. So if anybody ever gets or talks to the city attorney, which they are your attorney, you're the client, you have the right to ask them. You don't have, you're not beholden to them. They're beholden to you. Always ask them. Put it in writing, and also, what's the points of authority? Just ask them that. And when they're too busy, as they've done to some board members, just not responding back, that should just tell you the problem. Because when there is a problem, it's your face that's on it, not theirs. And don't forget, you hold the privilege, not the attorney. Thank you.
I'm going to, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Luna.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say you're an attorney.
No, I'm not. Not in any capacity.
Not in any capacity.
But you can talk to Mr. Lynn.
Okay. The reason I say that is because... Okay, outstanding. Just so you know, the VNNC bylaws are empowered by the Charter of LA. So by the fact that we're elected public officials, we have the authority to do this. We don't need precedent. We don't need points of authority. We're able to literally, same as the LA City Council, create rules to govern ourselves.
Mr. Luna, it would be good to get something in writing from the city attorney on behalf of the entire council. I think we're all very thankful for the research that you've done. But Mr. Hopp is very smart and right, and getting something in writing would be genius so we could proceed. So if you could circle back and get something in writing out of them, I don't know if they're going to give it to you or not, but because what we are trying to do with your work is established procedure, so if something does happen, we have the rights and the authority to proceed. I know you have gone through and have all of this information, but having something in writing from our city attorney is the golden ticket, yeah, if you will.
Absolutely. I'm here to serve this neighborhood.
But just as me as a council member, I am very thankful for the work you've done, but definitely listen to what Mr. Hopp is saying, and anything you can get in writing is beautiful for us. Maria.
He did a great job. That's one. I would like to say, example, I know the people that's doing our computers are doing an excellent job. Everything that he just said, example only, this young man is on the mailing list, on the email list. And he comes in and goes off, and we want to kick him out. And he say, well, I didn't know the rules or whatever. So all the rules that we're going to say, you cannot do this, cannot do that, because you will be subject to be kicked out, whatever the situation may be, can all those rules be email blasts to everyone that's on our email list? So that way, if anything happened, it was attached to a link saying, hey, these are some of the things that if you come in and do, you will get kicked out. Because for a lot of people that's on our email list, of course, is not here. This young man is here, and he hears it now. But if he wasn't, can he and everyone else that's on our email list get that little code of saying, hey, if you do this, if you do this, you do this, yes, as a stakeholder, you will get kicked out, so that way they will know.
Half the reason why we want to get stuff in writing. Can you follow up with what Maria is saying, and then we can send out like a memo or an email blast to our constituents?
Yeah, I can absolutely do that. It was suggested by both Dunn and LA City that every meeting at the beginning before a roll call, we set the expectation with essentially reading out the code of civility. I have an example passed along, but absolutely I can get something in writing so
perfect.
That you can pass it along.
Thank you, Councilmember Luna. Yes, Candy.
Is that the one that happened about 13 years ago?
No, it just happened a few years, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. A lot of stuff was discussed. I tried to keep the scope specific to the neighborhood council system, and so that's what was discussed. Yeah, at the bottom line, in case anybody's curious, nobody's getting kicked out permanently without a judge's court order. That's just the way it is. It's happened in the past, but it's not a quick or easy process. It's not anything that I mean, there are five full steps prior to that happening, and it's not, it's for egregious, you know, incidents.
But Daniel, just to say,
yes, Mr. Nunn.
Just to say that, as I handed out at the very beginning, per the Brown Act, you guys can clear the room. We can stop action, as you said, to have a recess and then to calm down whatever the situation is. And I think that would have been very effective in past sessions. Yeah. And so I think that's something where if we just said, okay, that's it, we're in recess, that would be enough to at least give the opportunity for the person who's out of order to realize they're being out of order.
Very good. Mr. Luna, thank you very much for your work on this. Loop me in, circle back, and let's get some stuff in writing. And Paul, you're absolutely right, and thank you for the research that you've done. I hope we don't have to clear the room, but we do have that as an option. Moving on, 8K, update on child and sex trafficking summit with the LAPD, the FBI, and the United Nations. Mr. Lazarovitz spoke on this a little bit. We've already locked in the date with the help of Guillermo and Councilman Martinez's office. It will be in this room on Wednesday, July 30th, starting at 6:30. We have a confirmation from the LAPD. LAPD Vice Sergeant Ron Fisher is going to come and speak. Joseph and his contacts at the FBI, they've been going back and forth, and we should have someone locked in the next couple of weeks. And then Lydia Grant, who is our neighborhood commissioner, is working alongside with me, and we are going to get a speaker from the United Nations to come and speak on that. So the summit that we're having at the end of July, let's hope it can be bigger and better than our Emergency Preparedness Summit, which was extremely successful. Moving on, it's Wednesday, July 30th. Update and progress report on the health fair partnership with Councilwoman Nuri Martinez's office. Linda Levitan has already spoken on this. We were looking at either the second to last or last weekend in October. I know some of the tentative places we were looking at were like the Japanese Gardens in Lake Balboa and a few other places. So as soon as there's any update on that, I will send out an email blast to the council. And Linda, thank you for your help and work on that. Moving on to 8M, removal of board member pursuant to Van Nuys Neighborhood Council Bylaws, Article 5, Section 9, a recorded vote by the VNNC for the removal of Jeanette Hopp from the VNNC board for said board member's actions Wednesday, May 14th, 2014, during the Board of Public Works recorded meeting where said board member deliberately misrepresented the VNNC during public testimony. Before we get into this, let me pull up what the R city attorney wrote to myself and Derek, if I can pull it up. While I'm doing that, is there any discussion or debate on this issue? Let's start with Paul.
Yeah, just to ask really quickly. Now, we already discussed that in research that Councilmember Luna had come up with, that in order to the process would normally be to censure. And you just please reiterate that, because I didn't quite remember or catch that part.
I'll go over the six steps very briefly. The first would be a verbal warning by the presiding board member. Steps 2, 3, and 4 would be censures. Step 5 is a preparatory step, which is a conference with the LA City Attorney in preparation for step number 6, which is removal of the board member.
So my understanding that that's not in standing rules nor in the bylaws, it's something that we would have to adopt?
Correct. It is not currently in the standing rules. Something else to look at just as a housekeeping measure is censure is not defined in the current bylaws, so that would also the procedure and the definition for that would also need to be established.
I think I would add that to my next meeting.
Kathleen Padden, did you have something?
Yes. There were several of us from City Council that were present at the meeting on May 14th. And I understand with Janet, she was
she was really, really good in the way she presented of what we were there for. Now, I see something that I just had a heads up on this one, and it's a neighborhood, Van Nuys Neighborhood Council petition of removal. And I'd like to know, when did we vote on this to be able to use a council logo and then have people sign it? I would like to know.
As a board member who started the petition and went by the bylaws that clearly state that you have to have a petition that clearly states the offense, and then you have to have 50 signatures, and then it has to be reviewed, and then reviewed by the city attorney, and then presented
the logo
after the 50 signatures.
Yes, with no authorization, because I didn't vote on it. Is there anybody who voted on this for a petition to have the removal of Janet?
No.
Anybody?
No. Mr. Mayor, did you have something for us?
Yeah. Over the years, I worked on the bylaws tremendously. We sent in, I think there were four updates over the years from the conception up until, I think, 2010 was the last time I worked on the bylaws. The big thing was, as I understand, the censure process. But in the bylaws that got passed by the city regarding the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, they do have the process of, I think you have to go out and collect,
was it 50 or 250? 50
to remove a board member. And that's all been agreed with over the years. Normally, a board member steps down just due to the behavior over time, you know, not showing up for meetings and stuff like this. But when somebody does speak out of turn, it offends a lot of people, not only the board members, but a lot of the stakeholders as well. And even though it might be misrepresented, some people misunderstand. So, but the process that Derek went through is the correct process. And he has to go out, follow the bylaws, get the 50 signatures, whoever they might be, and they have to be stakeholders. And then it gets presented to you as the board of directors, and then it'll be voted on.
And I also like to make the point that the city attorney fully reviewed the packet.
Correct. So that's basically.
Well, everything. The letterhead is for
all
the
right,
Van Nuys
real quick,
City Council.
Real quick.
So the way I see it, everything is still on board on the table.
Let me find it. This is from Lois Phillips, who is our city attorney. Dear Derek and George, please follow the procedures set forth in your bylaws regarding removal. Ms. Hopp should be allowed to address the allegations at the meeting. Please remember that a two-thirds vote by the entire board is required for removal rather than two-thirds of the board members present. Thus, if at least two-thirds of your board is not present at the meeting wherein this item is agendized, it will have to be held over for the next meeting. The petition should be attached to the agenda so as to allow the public to confirm that the signatures are valid. Please let me know if you have any further questions. Sincerely, Alois Phillips.
We were also advised
in a separate email for, I guess, privacy concerns to allow the public to review the petition for removal, which anyone can do right now, and that what Carino and Howard put up on the website was sufficient for under resources. What you guys put up was just fine and legal.
Yeah, it's just one PDF that the memory was too big to download. It has to break down just to able to upload to the website.
Yeah, no, you guys are completely doing the right thing. I asked the city attorney if it was sufficient because I knew it would come up. So the petition is available for anyone in the public to review right now, if you would like to review the signatures. Okay, so if Miriam could please review the petition. I know the secretary has gone over all of the addresses and names, and we're well over the 50. Isn't that right?
Are they Van Nuys stakeholders?
There was 146 submitted, and what, 75 confirmed stakeholders? 73. So Procedure has been followed. Yes, Paul Anand.
Just one note, though, is that if you go to the website, there's only 29 signatures or something like that on the actual website in the breakdown. It didn't upload properly or something.
It's just that one file was 65 gigabytes or something, and you know, there's a certain amount of memory that you could download on any program because it's too large of a file to.
But this seems to stop at number 29.
No, there's many petitions. There's more petitions. And that was a half-used petition. There were like six petitions that were circulated.
Well, then
is a good reputation involved in this?
On the website because I can't find it. Maybe you can. Well,
it's under resources.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
May I have the floor?
Yes, Derek, you're recognized.
Yeah.
The first item I'd like to present is an email that speaks to Ms. Hopp's actions, that they were preconceived. This is a email the morning of May 14th, Wednesday, the day of the Board of Public Works, sent at 7:26 to the budget advocates. Ms. Hopp says, I have been asked to be downtown at 9:30 for a meeting before planning department to discuss an issue that is before my neighborhood council and Nuri Martinez's office. I will come to Dunn meeting, but perhaps a little late. And then this was what followed shortly after.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jeanette Hopp, and I am, by the way, no relation to Richard, in case any of you know him, so just have to give that little disclaimer. And you guys are trying to attack me. I love it. And I'm really a good person. I am the treasurer for the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, and I am a budget advocate, and I'm here to tell you that the largest number of residents in Van Nuys and the majority of the members on the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council are in, excuse me, I get upset when I think about this because I can't believe someone would be against this, in favor of the move of Fire Station 39 from its current location to Oxnard and Vesper. We realize that the city's already invested several million dollars in that site. We realize that there have been a number of studies done. We also realize there's a large opposition from residents who actually are Sherman Oaks residents, but they're on the periphery of our neighborhood council because of redistricting or restructuring the lines. I have to tell you that they have come to our neighborhood council for the last 9 months every time this issue is on our agenda, and it's on our agenda again for tonight. So we're going to have a number of them, and they're extremely vocal, and they are against the move because they're NIMBYs. Not in my backyard. They actually do not live right exactly there, but some of their, I guess, backyards do actually, but part of wherever it's going to be located. And I have to tell you, I was appalled. I asked them, well, if you were having a heart attack or a stroke, wouldn't you want them there as quickly as possible? Doesn't it make sense to you that this is going to improve their response times, and this is a good thing that they've got an old facility that's more than 50 years old, and they really need good equipment and a big space and an easier entrance and exit from their property. This will allow them to go in one side and come out the other and not back up traffic. Doesn't that make sense to you? And they can't think because all they think about is they don't want to have to listen to the noise. And they've actually demanded from the city, from Nuri Martinez, our CD6 rep, double paned windows and extra insulation in their homes and what have you, and are trying to hold the city council hostage for that. And we told them that that's not going to happen. We don't care what you want or what you threaten or how many lawsuits that you think you can bring. That's not going to happen. They're not going to set a precedent like that, so dream on. And some of the residents actually almost attacked Nuri Martinez at our last meeting, and we had to have the police remove these individuals. So I have to tell you, they are not the nicest people with whom to have to deal, but they are not in favor, and we told them that we cannot see why they are being this adamant, and they said that they've done their own studies for which they've paid on their own out of their pockets and have tried to prove that you guys have not been telling the truth. And we still didn't agree with them because we've seen the data ourselves and had presentations, but didn't matter. They're just really not very, very nice. So I just need to let you know that that is the instance, but that you do have the support of many, many, many Van Nuys residents and of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. It does directly affect us, and despite all of the opposition and the problems, we're behind you 1,000%.
No, I know.
I want to remind everyone on the board that our board passed 2 community impact statements supporting the public. Now, I've prepared a speech tonight to explain the situation before our council. It's no secret to the board that Ms. Hopp and I are friends. She served on my campaign when I ran for city council, and she was tremendously helpful in her role. I even recommended her for president of this council and voted for her myself. And to her, I am always grateful. However, friend or not, tonight is about accountability and trust. This has nothing to do with Fire Station 39. This has nothing to do with a grudge. This is not a witch hunt. The topic on which Ms. Hopp deliberately misrepresented the Board of Public Works could have easily been about a relocation of a public library or a closing of a park, but the fact remains I would still be speaking here before you tonight on the removal of Ms. Hopp. The topic is of no importance, but rather her actions. According to the Los Angeles City Charter, the purpose of our neighborhood councils are to promote more citizen participation in government and make government more responsive to local needs. And this starts with trust. Trust that the community can come through those doors with ideas, problems, and concerns, and trust that they will have an honest, accurate voice to speak on their behalf to our elected leaders or in their absence. Neighborhood councils are a bridge between the community and our leaders. We are the first step on a path to finding a solution. It is already hard enough for a community member to come into our meetings and speak out in front of an entire room of strangers in hopes that their concerns will be heard. Trust is given in a very real way. We have a responsibility not to abuse this trust. We would be mistaken to view the circumstances before us tonight as a fleeting thought or not to see the deeper seriousness of Ms. Hopp's actions. Trust has been broken, and the gravity of the situation strikes at the very foundation of not just the VNNC, but all neighborhood councils citywide. If we keep Ms. Hopp on the board, we become no better than the corrupt politicians who dole out favors for their own. Tonight's vote is not about friendships, but rather about what is right. A simple reprimand or a slap on the wrist does not instill trust in the community for our board or others like it. This is why I and other board members who signed the petition will be voting yes to remove Ms. Hopp. I personally like Ms. Hopp. I believe she has lost her way, but accountability has to be served so as to uphold the integrity of the VNNC and the neighborhood council system as a whole. A vote tonight in favor of removing Ms. Hopp does not banish her from ever serving on the board again or from ever attending future meetings. I, for one, would welcome her back, but only after trust has been earned back. Thank you.
George.
Maria, you're recognized.
Everyone, thank you for staying. I must say, for me, you cannot knock every good thing that Ms. Hopp have done. She has did this paperwork. She had did the treasurer paperwork. She has got us back on track where we need to be because we were in a hole and she had done a lot for us, which is 500% true. I honor her for that. And I've came here so many times and said, as being a treasurer, I did nothing. Ms. Hopp did everything. She would call me and say, Maria, let's meet so you can sign us and we will discuss it. She deserves that hands down. She's awesome on that. She is awesome on her paperwork and her note-taking, most definitely. My personal thing is, and I'm sorry because I'm getting upset. My personal thing is,
And I never told y'all until the last meeting that during Derek's campaign, Ms. Hopp implied to Derek's wife that Derek and I, you know, and that's not right, that I was jealous. Penny, please don't say that, because I'm the one that had to address Derek on that. No.
It's a bold-faced
lie. Wait, first, let me finish. It doesn't matter what you feel. I have the mic. Let me say what I have to say. You're saying it doesn't have to. I have to tell the reason why I signed the petition. I'm not signing it just for the fire department. That's something different. So this is the reason why. So let me finish my conversation. When you want the mic, you stand up and ask to get on the mic, okay, Ms. Hopp? I mean, Penny? So that was something that was very hurtful. I still never came to the board. I never disrespect her. I still worked with her. When I asked her about it, she said, oh, I'm going to tell Derek's wife the truth, okay? That dealt with me, because that put something between Derek and I being around each other, Derek's wife probably looking at me in a different way when I'm around her husband. That was a problem that you said that. I never came to nobody and said, who said it on the mic? That's the reason why I stepped down as the treasurer. When she said, oh, she going to make me slap her in her fucking face, or I'm going to slap her in her motherfucking face, something like that, which was on tape. And when I asked her about it, so when you say that has nothing to deal with it, when I asked her about it, she told me it was one of them. Then when I asked her, I said, no, Ms. Hopp, it was only them two, myself, and you in a meeting. I know you didn't, okay? If you heard me and if you listened, you would have heard exactly what I said. So I said, no, Ms. Hopp, that wasn't, they didn't say anything. They did not say that. She said, oh, no, I was repeating what someone else said. I said, no, Ms. Hopp, clearly from the tape is you stating that. Still since then. Only thing that I text you and said, George, please talk to her. I've never disrespect her. I never came after her. I've never said anything to her negative. I just left it alone and did a polite thing and just stepped down as second signature. I never even told y'all what happened to the detail of what it was. So I'm giving a reason why I signed it, you know? So that way people will know I'm not jumping on a fire department bandwagon. I'm not jumping on Derek's bandwagon. I'm saying these are things that had happened and other things. But I'm just only going to speak on those two items, and that's just it, so y'all will know the reason why I signed it.
Do we have anyone else from the council that would like to address this issue? Mr. Luna, you're recognized.
I'll just address it from my seat. I got on this board last month, so I'm very new to the politics of this board. My opinion comes solely from a point of view of justice. What is fair, what's equal, what's reasonable. I'm strongly in favor of a censure. I'm strongly in favor of a correction of this behavior. Simply because if trust is broken, that's pretty egregious. But I'm also an individual who believes that second chances are something that might be, you know, something worth visiting. Those are my comments. I yield
back. Thank you, Mr. Luna. I'm going to call on Mr. Anand, and then Kathleen, then Penny, and then also, according to the city attorney, Ms. Hopp does get all the time to respond to this. So let's start with Mr. Anand and then Ms. Patton.
I'm just going to say that I agree with Mr. Luna. And mainly the reason I'm agreeing with him is that if all the other councils are following this process, and if that's kind of like a, I mean, I'm not sure that all the other councils are following this process, but if that's what Dunn and what all the other boards are saying, hey, this is the process we follow, is a process of censure, I think it's unfortunate that we don't have censure defined in our bylaws, and that it's not even part of the process, because it could be something less egregious than this next time, and we could be in the same position. So there should be it's kind of like a one strike you're out instead of a three strikes you're out at this point in terms of if you want to remove somebody. So there should be some kind of process in which you actually first have a chance to correct the behavior, even if it's only one censure or whatever we decide it to be. But I think there should be at least some opportunity to correct whatever the problem is, same as we would with a stakeholder, to calm them down and explain to them, like, they can never be banned. So we tell them, hey, this is behavior is not acceptable. The same thing should apply, I think, to the board. That's my comment.
Ms. Padden, and then Penelope, and then I would like to address the censure, because I did have a discussion with Derek earlier today, and I must have been going off old bylaws. But Ms. Padden, you are recognized.
Thank you. How many from this council were called to sign this petition with the logo or asked to vote? How many? Would you raise your hands if that you were asked to vote? That's interesting.
I'm sorry, what exactly are you asking? Ask to vote about what?
Yeah. To sign the petition or ask to vote
about
no.
The logo or the vote?
Well, I wasn't called.
Because they know you're my friend. What about everybody else?
This is a kangaroo court.
Penelope.
This.
Maybe a letter should go back to the planning to state that she was representing herself, not this board.
I think it's very clear in the recording. She said the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council.
Excuse me, I have the floor. I think that would be something that might be for the next meeting that needs to be corrected, but I don't think that throwing her off the board for that. I'm with Mr. Luna.
Okay, a couple things. I did speak with our former president, Derek, and I gave you misinformation. The information I got on censure, as I pull up the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council bylaws, it says that we don't have, it says this section intentionally left blank. So it must have been some other bylaws that I was reading. But it was my understanding that the censure vote, it's the same type of procedure that 50 verified stakeholders can bring a censure to be voted on by this board. If, let's just say in the case of Mrs. Hopp, that a censure is voted and she's censured for her actions, that's strike one. If another separate incident happens and she is censured again, that is cause for removal, the second censure. So I found that in some bylaws, some neighborhood council bylaws, maybe it was Porter Ranch or Midtown North Hollywood. So Derek, I apologize for misspeaking, but that policy of censure, like what we spoke this afternoon about, is I'm kind of with Mr. Luna and actually establishing the procedure. I apologize that I misspoke in regards to that, but I do think that our council should come up with a procedure for censure in cases exactly like this. I will say that it was clear that Mrs. Hopp did misrepresent the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council's position on Fire Station 39. She said that the majority of the council members were for it being moved to Kester and Oxnard. Now, maybe this council could happily receive a apology from her, and we can maybe move on from there. But I know for a fact that I voted for the community impact statement twice. And I helped run the meeting in December, along with Mr. Benjamin. And we have been completely professional and our dealings with everyone over off of Noble and over in that area. And I understand where you guys are coming from. And I've voted with you guys every single time. I don't think that this big of a... it is a big deal, but I don't think it's cause for removal from the board. And I will be supporting Mr. Luna's position and where Penelope is coming from. And I just wanted to state that. And I also professionally, out of respect for Derek and what he's done for the council, I'm sorry, I don't know where I got that censure verbiage, but I do believe that that would be the route that I would suggest the council take. Did any other council members have anything to say in regards to this? And then we'll go into the public. Let's go Paul, and then Lizette, and then Derek. Paul, you're recognized.
You know, I will go ahead and add that censure process to our next meeting for next week for the government committee.
Thank you.
And because the bylaws, et cetera, do fall under the purview of that committee, so let's go and take care of that as well.
Lizette, you're recognized.
As a neutral party, since my first day on the board and hearing what was said, it does appear that Ms. Hobb did misrepresent the council, and I think at a minimum it would be an apology and perhaps a letter, especially to the lead board members of that meeting to restate the correct position of this board.
Derek, you had your hand up.
Three things. The fact when Paul was talking about this is, you know, a first time and it seems like one strike you're out. It's not. It's actually the first time we've actually stepped up and done something. Ms. Hopp, there's been other times in this room where Ms. Hopp has done things that have been unbecoming of a board member. And this is definitely not the first time. And I think Maria's point is that, you know, she's had prior experiences with Ms. Hopp where that is also the case. The second thing I wanted to bring up was, Mr. President, when you first recommended, I mean, just now, that maybe an apology is in order, Ms. Hopp scoffed at it, just laughed. And then three, everyone in this room, the stakeholders, the public, the message that we're sending them right now that this is acceptable, that first we're going to put together some type of policy to, you know, our bylaws are how they are right now, and we're going and following the way they are. That's what we have to go by right now. And the fact that the trust has been broken by one individual, that they can't come in here and trust that when they're not around, that these board members are going to accurately represent them, it's horrible. And we're sending this message to everyone in this room right now that that's what they can expect as business as usual. I'm appalled at it.
All right, let's open it up to the general
George.
Public. Kathleen, real quick, and then we're going to...
While you're being appalled...
Kathleen, Jeff, and then, yeah.
Would you please explain how you got permission to use the Neighborhood City Council?
And also the fourth thing, too. You know, if Ms. Hopp can tell us who sent her to the Board of Public Works to do that. Because there's an email saying that she was sent to do this.
To do what?
To lie about the stance of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. This is an email from Ms. Hopp saying that she was sent to that board meeting. I want to know who it was. And that's actually something more important is who sent you, Ms. Hopp? Who sent you?
Mr. Lynn, you're recognized.
That's an excellent question. Who did send her? But no, she can answer or not answer. My statement at this point, quite frankly, is... Mr. Wileko, who I fully support, has gotten this petition. It's on the agenda. It says what it says, and I think we should have an up-and-down vote on it, on its merits.
All right. We're going to open it up to the public. Mr. Hopp, you have a speaker card in, so I'm going to recognize you first, and then we'll just...
I wasn't going to, but I...
You're,
all right.
You're allowed to speak once we're done with this.
Okay.
Richard Hopp is recognized.
Board Member Lynn is correct. Without hesitation. The issue is, what was the effect of Board Member Hop doing what she did or did not do? Did it affect the vote? Did it affect other people's constitutional rights to have something built across the street from their house? Or people that, or individuals or stakeholders that need the fire department near that area? We will never know. Question was, did it affect the vote? And that was never addressed. That was never investigated. Did those individuals that voted, did she influence the vote? I don't know. And that's what the problem is. One key factor that was on the audio, if it was verified, is the word we. If it said the word I, that's something different, but it said the word we. And it affected this board's character and branding if it did affect the vote. And that's a very important issue to look at. I don't take it personally what she said about me. It's a memory. I don't care. Nothing new.
It was
but the issue is, did it affect the vote? And if someone says, oh, well, she should just apologize, but it affected someone's rights, someone's property values, that's an issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. We're just going to go down the line here. We'll start with you.
Strike, two strikes, and three strikes. There should be no